Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com. That's anthonypatch.com. You've got to watch his videos as well, of course. We were lucky enough to be able to feature on our website a collaborative effort between J.D. Neptune Diaries and Mr. Patch, the video about CERN disclosure. Wow. It's really a good video. Folks, before we get back to Mr. Patch, I want to mention that we've enjoyed a lot of things. You know, we're talking about the physics tonight. We're talking about certain science tonight. We're talking about biblical things. And one biblical thing that I've had the pleasure of experiencing, and I really want to pass it on to each and every one of you, is music. If you're sick and tired of being stressed, if you feel overwhelmed and unmotivated, we do have something for you, and that's WholeTonesLive.com. If you feel like life is running you instead of you running your life, you're not alone. We feel that same way too, oftentimes.
We get one earpiece to play back guest audio and our audio, and the other earpiece to play Whole Tones during the show?
Absolutely. You know, I'll tell you, you can experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy with WholeTonesLive.com. They've got a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress, ease your mind, and motivate you. We firmly believe this after having Michael Terrell on our show some time back. If you get a chance, search that program out and listen to it, and listen to the scientific analysis combined with the biblical aspect of the healing music, the music that affects your stress levels, your thoughts, basically it can elevate you from depression. In fact, Walter Reed Medical Center, they're now treating our veterans with music. WholeTonesLive.com. This is the place to go. You can download a free sample there at WholeTonesLive.com. You can be one of the many happy Whole Tones clients, one who has written this. I started playing Whole Tones throughout my workday. And you know what? Not only was I more creative and motivated, the work I was doing seemed easier and clearer. So go to WholeTonesLive.com. Go to the website. Download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com. Support this broadcast, this show, and go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's Whole Tones. That's WHOLE. Don't forget the H, or W, that is WHOLE, TonesLive.com. And again, our special guest tonight is Mr. Anthony Patch. We are overloaded with emails. I just want to pass one email along here. This apparently is directed to Eric from a Gary J, wishing you a long, long and prosperous relationship with the Hagman and Hagman Report. Apparently, he just got the memo. Thank you for that, Gary. Appreciate that. Also, many, many emails in support of Mr. Patch and his work. Mr. Patch, first of all, welcome back. Second of all, before we get into listener questions, is there anything you'd like to start the hour off with? In this case, right now, that maybe we didn't cover in the first two?
Well, you know, there's a whole departure that we can go into, and that has to do with one of Tom Horn's favorite topics, and that's transhumanism, but even more specifically, this whole DNA revolution that's going on, what I call digitized DNA. I wrote an article that I'll have up on my website soon. It's called In Silico. That means in silicon or in the computer. Computer modeling of digital DNA, be it human, plant, animal, life form DNA. And essentially, it takes transhumanism and goes to perhaps the ultimate level, and that's creating any type of life form that your imagination can imagine. Hello, Lady Gaga. And create life. Ye shall be as gods. So I don't know if you want to get into that, but that's a whole other topic we could venture into.
I'd like to approach that, because that is really the kind of the cornerstone. Ye shall be like gods. The I don't know, gnosis perhaps, but the what is it? Apotheosis. Is that what it is? It doesn't matter.
Abiosis.
Okay. Abiosis. There it is. Okay. That thing. What he said. Yeah.
It's okay. It's without biology is what it means.
Okay. Well, there is an apotheosis, I believe. But however.
Sure.
Yeah, regardless. Yeah, I'll stick with what you said. So, yeah, let's address that because I think that's what they're trying to do. We see this in the transhumanism. We see this all over. I mean, it's a cornerstone of just about their entire agenda, right? I mean,
it really is. Oftentimes, a question associated with that that is posed to me is, why would these people, physicists, scientists, engineers at CERN or in any of the other scientific disciplines such as biology and genetics and DNA, why would they buy into this? Why would they want to change human beings? Well, Lady Gaga said, and it's in this video that, you know, we've been talking about tonight, she, you know, seems to be the queen here. I mean, she's taken over for Madonna, but she talked about, and we presented the clip in the video from a Tonight Show with Jay Leno from years past when she came out and said, we are going to birth a new race of beings. Well, okay. Yeah. You know, you're going to birth a new race of beings. How are you going to do that? Digitize the DNA. Grow it from the four basic building blocks, the amino acids of DNA. Grow whatever you want in the computer. Do it as a model. Manipulate it. Get it to where you think it's perfect. And then, I'm being euphemistically here saying, put it in a 3D printer and print it out. That's, you know, sort of the short way of saying what they're doing, and they are doing. They are growing human hybrid bodies. They are already growing a new race of beings. Many people have said, and I'm sure you've interviewed people that have said that there are hybrids laying in stasis, in hibernation, in hidden government laboratories. I don't doubt it. When we put it in the framework of science that is hidden from us, that is advanced 50 to 70 years beyond anything we have any idea of at this point, that there may be hybrids already waiting for digital DNA to come through the portal, courtesy of CERN. Digital DNA entities that will come through as a digital signal that will then inhabit these hybrid bodies, animate them. They won't have a soul as we define it. They certainly are not of God, but these are creations from science. Now, are they creations beyond what God creates? No, because everything comes from God. God is allowing this. These are creations from matter and energy that God first created. So they're not really creating
Yep, we might have lost them.
Man.
Which is okay, folks, because we have backup plans in place, and our engineer, Todd, will get him back for us.
Wow.
We have so many questions pouring in from our audience for Mr. Patch. There is just such intrigue into this topic, and we've not only branched out from CERN, we're talking, you know, Bible prophecy, we're talking a whole number of issues. And as I said, they're pouring in. Do we have Anthony back?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. Loud and clear.
Good. Okay.
We're afraid you got zapped, you know.
You know, yeah. It just seems like every time I get into something really touchy, they just push that little button.
Well, so, go ahead and finish your thought if you...
It's okay. I'll stop there.
Okay. All right.
We got an interesting question here from a Denise, and she asks, if we blow open the fabric of space and let evil entities in, can it also let in divine entities as well?
Very good question. I hadn't thought of it in those terms because I tend to go towards the nefarious and the negative on that discussion, but sure, I don't see why not. I don't think that that's really God's mechanism. I don't think that he really wants that barrier to be broken. He's allowing it for you know, the purpose of judgment. I mean, we haven't really talked about that, but why is he allowing it? It's for the purpose of judgment.
But yeah. I would go on to say that
mechanism.
That the heavenly entities, the good entities, have free reign to travel. It is those evil ones that are bound that don't have the ability to be let in or to come in unless they are let in. Kind of like the vampire stories. You know, you can't, they cannot enter your house unless you let them in.
Well, that's the knowledge that we were not supposed to partake of. And now that we have that knowledge, we're going to suffer for it.
Wow.
If I can jump in and just let everyone know that Anthony Patch is going to be appearing at the conference in the Prophecy and the News conference in June.
Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Wow. He's going to be giving three separate presentations. That's Anthony Patch, the Prophecy in the News in Colorado Springs in June. Let's mark your calendars accordingly.
And one of our sponsors, American Survival Wholesale, the owners, Chance and Joan, wanted us to ask you this, Anthony. How does prophecy correlate with CERN, in your opinion?
There you go.
Yeah, that's a big question. That's a big question. I think that in the short answer, CERN fits into the prophecy in terms of the opening of the abyss. The LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, you may have heard, is situated over what is considered to be the doorway to the abyss, the gateway, and that CERN, more specifically the machine, the LHC, is the actual key to opening this doorway to another dimension, in other words, into the abyss. It is physically located at the site of an ancient Roman temple for the worship of Apollo, Apollyon. So they don't do this by accident. It is also the nexus, the conjoining of ley lines, magnetic lines of force, the ley lines around the planet. So it's gathering energy from the planet along with the energy that it derives from the collisions. And the turning of the key is the colliding of the particles and the use of the strangelets that I spoke of before. So this fits right into the book of Revelation, Revelation 9:12, I believe it is.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Okay. Another question from a listener. Did the Nazis succeed in opening portals similar to what CERN's
doing? You had mentioned the Vril, Vril and Nazis earlier on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The Nazi bell, many people have heard of De Glocke, or I can't, you know, pronounce it properly, but the Nazi bell utilized a very primitive form of the same technology that's being used at the Large Hadron Collider. Now, specifically the physics, the Nazi Bell Project was for the purpose of not only opening a gateway, a portal, to communicate with entities, but also for the distortion of time. They were trying to manipulate or distort the timeline, to alter the timeline. That was their belief. So the physics involved was red mercury. Red mercury was contained within the bell-shaped container. The mercury was spun at extremely high RPMs, revolutions, in opposite directions. Same thing happens at the Large Hadron Collider. The spinning of particles at nearly light speed in opposite directions. Think of the Nazi bell as the first generation of the Large Hadron Collider. That machine also generated synchrotron energies, gamma rays, and many of the first round of scientists working on the Nazi bell were actually killed by the gamma rays, and they had to bring in more scientists and so forth and so on. So when we think of what's going on with CERN, we need to be thinking about what happened with the Nazis in World War II with the Bell Project. This also has to do with the generating, the creating of torsion fields. And I know you guys have heard about these and you've had guests on that talked about torsion fields. This is one of the hidden components of the functioning of this synchrotron particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider and the Nazi Bell. They both created torsion fields. Torsion fields can create a portal, and they can distort the timeline. They can mess with, if you will, the fabric of time and space. So, yes, they were trying to open a portal for communication to let small numbers of entities through to advance their Nazi agenda.
Interesting. Very, very, very well explained. They're top secret projects. And I know Steve Quayle writes about this, the Nazi Bell. This is just incredible. All of this is making sense now, or at least connecting the dots to get a larger.
Let's go back just a little bit further. Think about Tesla. Nazi Bell technology was an outgrowth of Tesla's technology. Everything that was stolen from Tesla basically is being used by CERN today. That's the short answer.
Wow. Okay. A convergence here of technology, right? That we're seeing today.
I like to call it the coalescence. That's the title of the third book in the trilogy, if there's time to finish it. I keep talking about that, but, you know, I am so overwhelmed with research and so much information, as I said at the beginning of the show, that's coming in, that's being revealed. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish the third book, because it would be a disservice to the public that you and I serve. We need to get this information out. It's streaming into you guys and to me. We need to get it out in rapid fashion. There are a lot of people that have never heard anything about the topics that we've talked about tonight, but there's a lot more that we need to present, a lot more. And so I'm not going to be so vain as to try to publish a third book, but I do call it coalescence for a reason, and that's what's happening this year.
Wow. If you could, Mr. Patch, can you explain for those who may be hearing you the first time, the concept of Jacob's ladder?
That's good. Please. Help me out on this one.
Sure. Remember the Birkeland currents I mentioned, that they're trying to create a plasma conduit to reconnect Saturn and the Earth? That's Jacob's ladder. There's a great website I really encourage people to go take a look at that I really credit with a lot of the things that I have come up with, the connecting of the dots that I have done, like you say, and that's the Thunderbolts Project. Thunderbolts Project is all about the electric model of the universe. They have some tremendous graphics in there, some great videos. They talk about not necessarily Jacob's ladder specifically, because they steer away from the biblical references, but they show the Birkeland currents in the ancient times, in the golden age of the golden age of Kronos. If you're standing on the Earth and you're looking up at the southern pole of Saturn, and it's connected by an electrical pathway, a conduit of two twisted strands, just like DNA, twisted strands of charged particles. They're oppositely charged particles that form a twisted pair, much like telephone lines, that travel out into the heavens between the two planets. When you're standing on Earth and looking up at Saturn, it looks like almost like a pyramid, an elongated pyramid. It looks like a ladder ascending to the heavens. And that's how it was described in the ancient times, because they could not describe the physics that I just gave you a thumbnail sketch of.
I'm going to need more duct tape to wrap around my head to keep it from just exploding. I mean, this is, the information here is wow, a lot of stuff. And I know wow is, that's my go-to. That's my go-to word. Yeah, that's my go-to word. All right. So
I love the questions. Love the questions.
Yeah, we're getting so many questions here. I don't even know where to go with the questions. I guess the. Oh, Joe. I mean, do you have anything over there? Because I don't want to overtake.
I have a question here. Not sure, Mr. Patch, if you have an answer to this or want to comment on this. This is from Lois. She says, in Revelation, it says, they will seek death and not find it.
I'm glad you went there.
And she asks, is this because they will not be entirely human?
Yes. There's two things happening. It's describing the hybrids that we mentioned a moment ago, but it more specifically, let's go to DNA. Our DNA already is being changed, courtesy of not only GMO foods, but our environment, the pollution, the radiation from Fukushima. All of those things are factoring into it, but deliberately, our DNA is being changed at the molecular, but more specifically at the nanoscale, a billionth of a meter scale. Our DNA is being changed by nanoparticles that we have inhaled, ingested, absorbed into our bodies. There are some interesting literature that I was reading just today that came out in 2013 that said that they expect in 2013, by the end of the year, that 88% of the human population will have nanoparticles, these nanoparticles in their body. Well, you can certainly extrapolate that and say in 2016, 100% of the population now has nanoparticles in them. Specifically to the question, this is changing our DNA. There are particles that are actively changing our DNA right now. There are others that are laying dormant. The dormant ones will be activated by microwave transmission. The microwave transmitters are satellite-based and earth-based and also drone-based. Now, there's a book company, I'll call it, that is going to be making deliveries by drone. You know, I'll probably get in trouble, but, you know, there's nothing to say that drones won't be equipped to have small microwave transmitters in them, as well as satellites and cell phone towers. The purpose of transmitting these microwave signals is to activate the dormant nanoparticles that reside in every person. What is going to happen is that people who have not made the choice to accept, or excuse me, to deny, those that refuse to take the mark of the beast, and we can talk about rapture and, you know, left behind and all that, but if we're talking about people that are still here and have to make the decision whether or not to take the mark of the beast, those that do take the mark of the beast will not have the protection of the Holy Spirit that we talked about, will not have the ability to be shielded. I mean, from a physics standpoint, they will not be shielded by the Holy Spirit from the microwave energy. The microwave signals, the energy, will activate the nanoparticles. They'll change the DNA and change our minds. And therefore will also, for a short period of time, these same people will appear to be immortal, and they will be deceived into thinking that they have achieved that grand goal, that promise of Lucifer from the Garden of Eden, that ye shall be as gods and you will live as an immortal God. And for that short period of time, they will think that they've achieved that goal.
What's okay? Yeah, hold that thought.
Sorry, I tend to overload you guys with too many topics.
Okay, so I guess my question at this point would be: if our DNA, and I'll stipulate that I believe it is being corrupted and changed, not for the good, but for the worse. This is the same set of circumstances that happened as in the time of Noah, correct? So, mm-hmm. I mean, not using the same, or who knows, but it, regardless, God won't let this happen again, right?
Well, yeah. Like in Daniel, it talks about the end times where it says, and they will, as iron mixes with miry clay, they shall try to cleave, or they shall try to mingle their seed, but they shall not cleave, saying almost that they won't, they will try, but will not be successful in merging. That's right. Again.
That's right. It will not be successful. Short-lived, short time frame, short battle. They lose at the end of the battle. So the corruption of our DNA will be done away with, just like in the days of Noah.
All right. So just to be clear, to the believers out there, to those who have given their lives over to our Lord and Savior and have the armor of God, what you're saying, if I hear you right, is they, we, us, collectively and individually, we're not going to be affected.
Right.
Or we're not going to be here to be affected.
It depends on your theology, so to speak. If you adhere to the doctrine of the rapture, then we will not be here. And those that are left behind, who then need to make that choice to accept the mark of the beast or not, if they accept Christ, they will be protected by the Holy Spirit, by the full armor of God, from the electromagnetic signals, the microwaves, that will activate the dormant DNA, the dormant nanoparticles.
Gotcha. Very diplomatic answer, by the way. Okay. That's very, okay. Yeah, how can we tell, or can we tell,
yes,
that our DNA is being changed? Is there any way to tell? I mean, symptoms, signs? Sorry.
Yeah, I think that already we're seeing the signs in the terms of the greater degree of cancers that are spreading around, and also the genetically modified organisms and viruses that are being spread around the planet. So we're seeing those things happening. Many of the, quote, pandemics or smaller outbreaks are all genetically modified viruses. These are man-made constructs that are then released for reasons of testing spreading, testing human reaction, testing the human behavior models to see how people deal with the spread of diseases. And then it segues right into the whole discussion of vaccines. Many times, you know, the pandemics are created on purpose to get people used to seeking their government and vaccines for answers, for solutions, for protection. But what's coming, there is no vaccine for.
The video that you and JD Neptune Diaries did, Anthony Patch, folks, is our guest, anthonypatch.com, the video that you did on CERN and disclosure, you mentioned the Internet of Things, the smart appliances. And you know, now it's come being made known that you know, the TVs and the various appliances can, in fact, send signals back to, or communications back to, a database.
Oh, yeah.
But how does this fit into everything? I mean, if you can take this a step further than what you addressed in your video, how does this connect into everything? Is this going to be the mechanism that the market, or the Antichrist, will use to stamp everyone?
This is the mechanism. Many people have heard that CERN was the start of the Internet. It was the building block. It was. It was the start. It was the purpose of distribution of scientific information and data to laboratories around the world in a collaborative process of running experiments. That is still being done today. CERN is the beast system. There's a lot that I can add to this, but in short answer, CERN is the beast system. The Internet is the World Wide Web. That has entrained and enveloped everyone on the planet now. It is the control mechanism. In Scripture, we hear that if you don't take the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell. Well, the Internet is the marketplace. You will not be able to have access to the Internet, to the marketplace, unless you are part of that beast system. So part of this is being connected, quite literally, every person on the planet to CERN. Now, I keep saying CERN, and people think, you know, maybe that's, you know, just over the top to put everything under that umbrella and to connect everything to that machine. But you've got to understand that the Internet is CERN and vice versa. The distribution channel for scientific research from CERN, just to step aside for just a moment as a footnote, when they collide particles, they generate massive amounts of data. That data is distributed through what's called the Energy Sciences Network 5. That is a fiber optic system with incredible throughput. The system that is coming is called the Helix Nebula. Helix, just like our DNA helix. Helix Nebula. You talk about a cloud-based server system. Now we're talking about nebula level. Go from cloud to nebula to the cosmos in terms of the server system, the size of it, the data crunching that can take place. You have a European system that will be, that is being connected to the United States and all, basically already is, but implemented around the world is this Helix Nebula system. That is the data distribution system for all commerce in the world, not just scientific data. This is connected to the computer that I keep talking about that is artificially intelligent. The Model 2048, there's the title of my second book, the Model 2048 adiabatic quantum computer. In 2015, in February, it was released by the manufacturer, made public. The thing that they left out was the fact that it is artificially intelligent. In 2010, the manufacturer said by 2016, we will have an artificially intelligent quantum computer that has the equivalent processing power of 7 billion human brains. Now, they, in their press release in February of last year, said, yes, it does have 7 billion, the equivalency of 7 billion brains. They left out the AI component of it. This is the beast system. That computer is connected to CERN, to the Helix Nebula, to the ESNet 5, to the Internet. You now have an artificially intelligent computer that is running the Internet. I'll stop there.
Yeah, you think you? I thought I knew. I thought I knew stuff. Okay, it's no coincidence. 7 billion, power of 7 billion brains, or the capacity, right? I mean, that's no coincidence.
No.
Correct.
Right. That's right. So don't forget, it's interdimensional. Don't forget that component.
Yeah, let's throw that in there too. Okay, that makes me feel all right. All right. Wow.
Anthony, this question is from a regular listener and caller named Charlotte. And they ask, when do you think the elite first got serious about starting CERN and reconnecting to Saturn? Or is this a continuation of the building of Tower of Babel?
Bingo. Right on the head. Tower of Babel. Continuation. It's been the agenda. It's been the goal. It's been the movement of technology. It's been the seeking of that higher technology from the other side. It's the Aleister Crowley. It's the Jack Parsons JPL. It has been the seeking of this higher technology that the Tower of Babel represented more and manifests itself more in a spiritual way than it did in a technological way. The Tower of Babel was a spiritual outreach to the other side. That was destroyed. And they were left with having to seek nuts and bolts technology to reach to the other side. And yes, most definitely, this goes beyond the 1954 breaking of the ground at CERN, Switzerland. That device, that whole agenda for CERN initially was for the modeling in the computer of nuclear explosions. They couldn't, you know, with SALT treaties and nuclear test ban treaties, we were not allowed to detonate warheads above ground or below ground anymore, and in particular in the atmosphere. So they turned to computer modeling. That's what CERN was created to do. It was for the purpose of modeling atomic warheads and advancing that. The purpose of atomic, and people probably don't know this, but the purpose of the atomic bomb wasn't to blow people up. It was to tear a fabric in space. And yeah. That's what CERN has always been about, tearing a hole in space.
I remember, and obviously I'm too young to remember when the atom bomb was developed and how they announced it and rolled it out, but the scientists, I know as much from watching documentaries and reading history, that the scientists were concerned that the exploding the atomic bomb would ignite the whole universe, had the potential to ignite the whole universe, kind of like CERN had the potential to open a black hole and destroy Earth in one foul swoop.
Yeah, they were worried that it would ignite the atmosphere. Stephen Hawking, physicist extraordinaire, came out a couple of years ago and said, I'm concerned that CERN, the LHC, will not necessarily create black holes that'll get out of control, which was his early concern. He definitely had an early concern to that. But he was more concerned that they were going to create bubbles, vacuum bubbles, that would immediately, at the speed of light, envelop the Earth, possibly enveloping the entire universe as we know it in a vacuum bubble. In other words, taking what we consider to be the known universe and inverting it, changing it into a completely different state of matter and energy. That's what he was afraid of, and he is coming out and did this 2 years ago and said, don't flip the switch. You don't want to be communicating with the other side. You don't know what's on the other side. And even if you do, you don't want to have come through into our realm of existence what is on the other side. He's deathly afraid of this machine.
All right. That's telling.
We have an academic, a scholar that is, I'm not going to give the name out, but everyone would know his name listening to this program, wanting to know or wanting you to address, if you could, the positioning of the Vatican hierarchy right now, specifically the Jesuit Pope Francis, the timing of that and the intent of that, ultimately, the intent of that, beyond mm-hmm. perhaps what you referenced earlier.
Well, the Vatican runs the world. People don't realize that all law, common law, everything stems from the Vatican. And the Jesuit system of the priesthood coming down from the Pope, we talk about the pyramid, the Jesuits run everything, so to speak, and it moves on from there to your politicians and your bankers and your corporations. Everybody takes their marching orders from the Pope in the final analysis. And that's why you see governments like ours fawning over the Pope when he comes to the United States. He's the false prophet. He's the one who's going to be standing next to the Antichrist. And it's the one that is in power right now. And they're tied into physics. We see that with their Lucifer telescope. They have all of the occult practices, the scientific knowledge hidden away in the Vatican that is being used at CERN. Tesla only touched on it. Tesla only got a little bit of it. Everything that is being used today comes straight out of the Vatican.
I think that's probably where that person wanted you to go. I mean, that's... Yeah. All right. So you made a statement in that answer about the Antichrist. And I think you referenced that Antichrist being in power, the one that's in power now. Is that referencing the Antichrist or the one that's referencing...
I was referencing the Pope that's in power.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, then that would stand to reason that the Antichrist has got to be visible right now or in a position of power or a position somewhere, right?
In my belief, speaking only for myself, I believe that we will be raptured and then the Antichrist will be revealed. Whether you're talking pre, mid, post-rapture, you know, trib rapture, whatever the discussion is, but we will not know his identity until after the rapture. And those that are left behind will then know who he is. I believe he's alive here on the planet right now as a fully formed person, not as a spiritual entity any longer. And, you know, I don't know who it is, and it would be ridiculous and it would be heretical for me to even try to put a name to who he is.
Well, no, I think what you said, though, is sufficient. I think that gives everyone, myself included, kind of an idea of the time period in which we live. Because looking at the Vatican, the position there, the false prophet, and then, of course, you know, so the time is late. The time is very short.
I agree.
And that would compel me, and I mean, everyone should understand that and take that as a warning, because we need to get right. We need to understand the time is short. We need to not just play our positions, but also to turn ourselves over to God. And I think that's really the most important message here. Wow. All right.
It is. That's our purpose. Our mission, our goal, I'm speaking for myself, but I think I can easily embrace this with you guys, is that we're not here to make a bunch of money, sell a bunch of books, scare people, pontificate, make ourselves look more than what we are. We are servants. I've been through the stripping down and the humbling process in my life and down on my knees before Jesus Christ. I know you guys have as well. It's like saying, you don't need to go through all that. You don't need to go through all the things that we've been through to get to where we are today. If you'll simply operate from faith that Jesus Christ loves you, God has a great sense of humor, he's laughing at what's going on, even as terrible as it all looks and or tends to be, he does have a sense of humor in the sense of he's laughing at Satan and his minions. We all encourage you, Joe, Doug, myself, JD, we all encourage you guys to really take to heart what we're saying, that this is the God's honest truth, what we speak here, and our mission is just to save souls. It's as simple as that. We're here to save souls.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mr. Patch, we got about 10 minutes left in the program. One question here I'd like to ask, what is the UN's role with CERN?
Well, the UN functions to further the agendas. People want to talk about the Illuminati and secret societies and even the Vatican, but they really are nothing more than just a mouthpiece for the politicians and the corporations. They really hold no real power. They really are ceremonial. And behind the scenes, the occult practices are put into practice in the halls of the United Nations. There is a temple to Satan in the United Nations headquarters. There are murals in the headquarters, much like you would find at the Denver International Airport. There are murals that depict the future of what is coming to this planet. That is nothing more than a Luciferian organization, as a short answer.
Okay.
It's funny you mentioned the Denver airport. I mean, it's relevant, obviously. Not the murals, the artifacts there, not for our benefit, but for the opposition, for the Luciferians, the bad guys, so to speak, right?
And we were actually there once, and we didn't get to see the murals. We were coming from Montana and catching a connecting flight from Denver to Cleveland, and we saw these holograms or hieroglyphs all throughout the floor, all over the airport. We didn't get a chance to see the murals and whatnot, but they were, you know, just like you would expect to see in the Giza pyramids, these hieroglyphs all over.
It was strange, wasn't it, Joe?
It was very strange. There was no rhyme or reason for them to be there, unless there is much more to the Denver airport than we are led to believe, which we know there is with all the symbolism that is open and that has been investigated, and even the deity Anubis, the god of death, the horse was brought in and set up there. You know, but those hieroglyphs, those really bothered me, because we didn't know what they were, and that's one thing that's not talked about too much when the Denver airport is brought up.
What's their purpose?
Well, as we know, that symbols have power. They have power to channel negative energy, evil energy. That's a temple. We know that underneath the airport are the so-called deep underground military bases. We know that that place is just a, you know, an amalgamation of tunnels and living quarters, and essentially a city residing beneath that. And that's all been presented by people much more knowledgeable than me. But that essentially above ground functions as a temple to Satan. They are telegraphing in the murals what's coming. We've all heard, and we all know of the theory that they have to tell us ahead of time. They have to tell their victims ahead of time what they're going to do. And the murals serve that purpose. But the markings on the floor are spiritual and ritualistic channeling of power into that temple. And that is where the elite will gather in the final days. And they believe that they're going to be safe there, as they ask and they beg for the rocks, the mountains, to fall upon them to seal them from the wrath of God.
Now that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and about the symbols, you said something very important. Symbols, if we want to talk about alphabets and the language, were the original language, especially of the mystery religions that lived on from Sumeria and Babylon through Egypt till today. This is what, you know, Freemasonry uses, and these other secret societies. This is how they communicate, by these symbols. And correct, they have a vast importance in the world of secret societies and in the Gnosis aspect. And this is why we see them today. And the logos from the TV, you know, from Columbia to NASA, and they all serve purposes, and they're all spiritual in nature.
They communicate to the other side. The entities that already are in communication on this side with us, they communicate through those symbols. Those are doorways. Those are gateways of communication. The symbols represent power, and they represent information conduits. And we also have, not the same, but we have the similar idea at CERN, in which we have the ancient Sanskrit and Hebraic and Chinese cuneiform, Egyptian writings that are on papyrus and animal skins, and are presented and displayed behind curved panels of glass within the headquarters at CERN. I mean, people know about the statue of Shiva that sits outside the headquarters, but many people don't know about these writings that are inside the headquarters. These are used in the rituals that are conducted, just like the video put out by CERN called Symmetry early last year. That's a ritual. That is all about communication. And these papyrus and animal skin writings are for ceremonies to enact sounds and frequencies, to initiate sounds and frequencies for opening the portal, and for communicating instructions to the other side from our side. So yeah, symbols are very important.
Very interesting. We have about 5 minutes left, Mr. Patch. I'm going to turn it to you. About 4.5 minutes left. I'm going to turn it over to you. Anything that we haven't talked about, touched upon, that you'd like to really get into, or like to address here before we close, please do so. And even promote whatever you would like to promote. You have free reign.
Well, I think, you know, you asked the question about halfway through this evening, you know, what kinds of things can we see that will tell us what's going on when we're talking about nanoparticles and DNA, but also the physical environment itself. We're seeing the planet being terraformed. We're seeing earthquakes and volcanoes like we've never seen in recorded history. This is tangible evidence that the planet is being changed from within. It's being changed by what happens at CERN. It's being changed by what they produced in the form of strangelets. And what the magnets of the machine also affects the magnetosphere. We didn't talk about the magnetosphere and the changing of the electromagnetic energy of this planet and the Schumann resonance and the electric model of the universe, and that versus the cover story, which is the gravitational model of the universe. There's a lot more that we could get into that's going on that we haven't touched upon, but the basic idea here is that you can look around the planet and you can see the evidence of evil at work. You don't have to believe me and Doug and Joe or anybody else. You can go out there and see it yourself. Ask yourself, is it a good thing that we have more earthquakes of large magnitude and volcanoes going off like crazy around this planet? Is it a good thing that we still have Fukushima spewing radiation all over the Pacific and killing the fish and the wildlife and about to kill many, many humans on this planet? I mean, is it good that science is terraforming? Forget global warming. Science is changing this planet for the purpose of creating an environment that will support a new race of beings. They truly believe that they're going to create their version of heaven on earth, the new Garden of Eden. They're changing the planet, and that should be enough to get people to wake up and say, okay, science is wrong. The direction that humankind is going in is wrong. We need to turn to someone else for the answers. And the answers come from the Bible, and the person to turn to is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Patch, we made it through another 3-hour broadcast, and it has been such a pleasure as always. We hope to have you back on.
We could do another 6-hour show.
Another 6 hours,
yeah. Or another Absolutely. 3 to make, you know, 6, or another 6 to make 9. I mean, it's, wow.
No, and we thank you for your work, Mr. Patch, your dedication, your research, the intensity in which you do this, and the product and the result that comes out from it. It is very informative. It is something, an area that you've been then chosen to take up the mantle and to move forward with, because it far exceeds our understanding, and you're the perfect man for the job, and we just appreciate your hard work and your ability to help us understand what's going on.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and thank you, but you know, I'm just here to help. I'm just a servant of God, and I'm just trying to help, and if what I do is helping people, then so be it. That's cool.
You really put things in context tonight. This is a tremendous program, Mr. Patch. Until next time, I just want to say thank you so much. We want to give you our regards and our thanks, and we will be in touch again. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you and your audience.
God bless you as well.
God bless you, too.
Joe, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. In case we, you know, you had mentioned American Survival Wholesale. Look, folks, time is short, and I do think there's a lot of real estate. At least it'll seem like a lot of real estate between now and perhaps a time that it wouldn't matter anymore. So let's prepare. Let's prepare. Do it now. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. I wanted just to make sure people understood that, you know, hey, with all this stuff, we still need to prepare.
And absolutely.
And HealthMasters.com. Go ahead.
HealthMasters.com. Tomorrow night, we'll be joined by Dr. Michael Lake, author of The Shinar Directive. Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
He's got his latest book. He's working on his finishing touches, and really excited to talk to him about that, as well as the continuation of the Shinar Directive. On behalf of Doug and Joe and our point man for programming administration in the southeastern United States, JD of NeptuneDiaries.com, our director of communications from New England, Rhonda, RhondaBless.com, our news director rooted deep behind jihadist enemy lines of America, Joe Charles, producer and director of studio operations, Eric the Tech, and Todd from Global Star Radio Network. God bless each and every one of you. Until tomorrow.
Remember to settle for battle. We have left the building.
Global Star Radio Network.